We're going to pass along some fresh new research out of K-State, which could assist you crop producers, hopefully anyway, in making decisions on the size and the function of your planting equipment fleet. Joining us now is precision agricultural economist with K-State Research and Extension, Terry Griffin. And Terry has been working with a graduate researcher here at K-State, trying to capture the trends in the days available to plant our various field crops and how that might relate to machinery decisions. Michelle Mincing is the one who actually conducted this work, and we'll talk with her in just a moment. But Terry, what has spawned the interest in this?
So, Eric, we do know that the last two springs have been abnormally wet. We had fewer days to get in the field to conduct field work, in particular planting of corn and soybean during those weeks. So we've been tracking weather probabilities over time, or more specifically, the probability of being able to get in the field to conduct field work, planting, tillage, harvesting. And so we've not only done this for Kansas, but Michelle has expanded that to Iowa, where her family farm is, and also Missouri. So we got the three states, Kansas, Missouri, and Iowa.
And you are actually tracking those days sort of on a moving basis. Is that correct?
Sure. So each crop reporting district in those three states report this every week. And so we've taken this weekly data going back to, depends on the state, but late 70s, early 80s, and tracking that over time.
Let's bring Michelle in here and talk about that task before we get into more of the meat and potatoes of the research. Have you found it easy to pin down these windows of planting opportunity in the form of the days suitable for field work, Michelle?
So the days suitable for field work is actually something that is tracked and reported by USDA NASS and is available through their online tool or the weekly summary reports. And so as Terry had mentioned, those go back to the late 70s, early 80s. Mm-hmm. And so we've gathered those and summarized them and been able to identify some trends that have happened over that time frame.
Well, give us a flavor of those trends, if you would.
So two specific study areas. We looked at both planting and harvest, and the two that stood out to have some significant trends were in Iowa during the spring. They are seeing less days suitable for planting in the most active planting window. So over a 10-year span, you could expect to see just over one day less for days suitable for planting in that most active window. The other one that stood out that was statistically significant was in Missouri during the harvest period. During that most active window, they are actually gaining days. So you would expect to see over 10 more years based on the historical data that you would gain about 1.5 days over the next 10 years for days suitable for harvest in Missouri.
Haven't mentioned Kansas yet. Are Kansas days suitable for field work holding somewhat constant amidst
Correct.
This then?
Yes. So there was not a significant negative or positive trend in the Kansas for both planting and harvest season.
But as Terry mentions, there's the occasional year or 2 years, whatever that window might be, where the opportunities to conduct field work may be narrowed some because of weather.
Right. There's a lot of variability from year to year.
How do you take this information then and translate it into machinery management and even purchase decisions, Michelle?
So as I pointed out, the Iowa and Missouri ones are two key ones that we noticed that they might want to reevaluate or look at this a little closer when they make their next purchasing decision. So in Iowa in the spring, if they're looking to purchase a new planter or maybe expand their operation and add an additional planter, they need to consider that they're actually having less days suitable to get all their acres planted. And we all know that Iowa plants a very large amount of corn acres, and they're actually doing it in a shorter window now. And so being able to account for that and have farmers manage their equipment capacity to make sure that they are able to plant all those acres in a smaller time frame is important. And then in regards to Missouri, if they're looking to purchase a new combine, it's the same thing. They may, with seeing more days suitable for field work in the fall, they may not necessarily need as large of a combine over 10 years down the road as they've needed in the past.
Those are somewhat general suggestions, but can they be pinned down even more tightly in terms of economic investments and whether or not one should expand their fleet or contract it for that matter?
Yeah, and there's obviously a lot of variables that go into that. And throughout my project, we did try and pin down a couple specific examples. So one, we looked at Iowa and compared the yield penalty if they're not able to get all their acres in the ground, you know, what sort of penalty will they see? And so we want to minimize that along with their planter costs. So in Iowa during the planting season, there are 4 weeks that are considered the most active for planting. And in general terms, one would want to plan for between the minimum and the 50th percentile, somewhere in that window. And so that's what we're trying to pin down, is at what point is that the best where you can minimize the yield penalties and your planter cost. And so in Iowa, just to give you an example of the range, in 4 weeks, somewhere around between 12 and 15 days, in the example we did, that would be ideal to minimize those costs.
So in other words, if a producer is looking at a 12 to 15-day planting window, that may be nearing the break point at which they might want to make a decision on a purchase. Is that
That's correct? Right. So over the four-week period, you know, you really don't have 28 days to get in the field.
Right.
You know, half the time you'll have roughly 15 days, but, you know, you really don't want to plan to just get half your acres planted, right? No one wants to do that.
Right.
At the same time, it's too expensive to get enough equipment to plant all your acres in the worst year imaginable. So there's some give and take. There's a balance between planting in the best time periods or taking a yield penalty and planting acres in the weeks after that, as well as investment costs. So what Michelle did is figured out, well, you know, you've got about 13 days during this 28-day period that you should be planning to be in the field planting. If you plan to be in the field more than that, you may lose money from over-equip, and if you plan on being in the field less than that, you need to be prepared to take the yield penalties for planting in time periods without the highest yield potential.
So that's where you hope that this indicator goes, that producers will have some baseline from which to work in deciding, well, maybe one should invest further in that additional planter or maybe custom hire for that matter if that's the case.
And I asked Michelle, you know, how do farmers make this decision? And she said by experience and intuition.
Correct. So there's a lot of farmers that have worked their whole life on the same farm, and now that we're seeing some of these trends changing, they might need to adjust what they've always done based on these trends. So either have more equipment to get their work done, for example, planting in Iowa, or, you know, if they might not need as much equipment as they've needed in the past. So one thing to consider in Iowa, as the number of farms all over the U.S. is decreasing, and specifically in Iowa, farms are becoming less in numbers and larger in size. Another thing to consider is location. So when you're looking to expand, do you necessarily want to just get one larger planter, or has there come a point when you need to have two planters because you've got less days suitable for field work, and so you need to be able to be in two places at once?
Again, the state of Kansas in this regard is somewhat neutral or constant, if you will, with its day suitable for field work. So, Terry, when you consider Michelle's observations in the state of Iowa in particular, do you see that this kind of information could also be of helpful guidance to Kansas operators?
Sure thing. So one of the things that Michelle did for Kansas was look at the host state as the state of Kansas. She did not evaluate this as each crop report in district, what some of the work that some other students are working on. We do see some trends in northwest Iowa compared to the state. The state didn't have a trend overall because the nine districts kind of canceled each other out. So we do see some differences over time, and we are evaluating that. In addition, the yield penalties that she was using are for Iowa. We are in a process of generating those through small plot research, as well as some observed farm level data with Romulo Lolata, Ignacio Simipetti, and other field scientists are bringing that data in, and we're going to do the same thing for Kansas.
And as Dr. Griffin mentioned, looking more at Kansas, if they look at the crop reporting district level, they should be able to see some more significant trends because the state varies so much from one side of the state to the other that the state as a whole is not seeing a trend one way or the other because they're kind of canceling each other out. But when you look at it in a smaller area, such as a crop reporting district, then they should be able to see some more trends for Kansas.
We'll look forward to the Kansas information coming together further and becoming more refined over time here. So, Terry, it's something, once again, that will continue to be tracked as well. That is the day suitable for field work on the agmanager.info website. Michelle, congratulations on this work. We appreciate you giving us a brief overview of it.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
And, Terry, as always, thank you as well for sharing the story of this new information generated by our guest, graduate researcher Michelle Mensing, and Terry Griffin assisting her as a precision agricultural economist, both here at Kansas State University.